Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, September 8th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. The Idaho truck driver who collided with multiple cars on Teton Pass earlier this summer was charged with two counts of homicide by vehicle. Leighton McMinn faces up to 2 years in jail for the deaths of two men. KHOL's Evan Robinson Johnson reports.
The 22-year-old descended too quickly from the mountain highway and overused his brakes, which caused them to fail, according to a Wyoming Highway Patrol affidavit. Trooper Brad Lachaw says the crash on July 7 was, quote, totally preventable. A family member of McMinn declined to comment. Ellen Page's husband, David of California, was killed in the crash. She says the charges are a good step toward preventing the next fatal accident.
I'm really sad. This is preventable. And the kid could have done something, the trucking company could have done something, and the states could have done something to prevent this. My husband should be alive.
She would like to pursue her own civil lawsuit, but will likely wait until the criminal case plays out. An initial court date has not been set. The crash was followed by subsequent close calls and an RV rollover that severely injured an 11-year-old girl. A group of concerned residents is calling on the state to make changes, including lowering the weight limit and adding alerts to Google and Apple Maps. For KHOL News, I'm Evan Robinson Johnson.
Inmates who had been sent to Mississippi 3 years ago were back in Wyoming. WyoFile reports 240 inmates were transferred to the Tallahatchie County Correctional Facility due to Wyoming's staffing shortages. But last legislative session, lawmakers voted to increase state employee salaries. Department of Corrections Director Dan Shannon credits that decision with improving staffing levels, along with aggressive recruitment and staff retention efforts. Shannon says the option remains open to move inmates out of state again in the future, if needed. Public opposition to data centers is high, regardless of political affiliation. Now a new report from researchers at Yale is finding out what it would take for communities to be more supportive. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez has more.
One strong reason people oppose data centers is that they believe their utility bills will rise. That's according to a survey from the university called Climate Change in the American Mind. Most people do not want data centers near them, but 74% would if building a data center in their community meant it would lower their utility bills. Kristen Eberhardt with the nonprofit Rewiring America advocates for affordable electricity and collaborated on the report.
It's really opposition to a bad bargain, where communities are being asked to absorb the costs while somebody else gets the benefit.
She adds that data center developers could invest in residential infrastructure, such as home weatherization efforts that could lower energy costs for ratepayers. Yvette Fernandez, the Mountain West News Bureau.
Fast-moving fires have again wreaked havoc in neighborhoods across the region this summer. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports that researchers are looking at solutions to what they call the fast fire problem.
University of Colorado Boulder fire scientist Jennifer Balch argues that we've been thinking about the wildfire crisis wrong. It isn't the increasing size of fires that's threatening homes and lives. It's their speed. Those that grow more than 4,000 acres in a day were less than 3% of total fires she studied back in 2024, but they accounted for nearly 90% of structures damaged or destroyed.
Fires are also getting faster, which is really compromising firefighting abilities and suppression teams.
Now, to inform policy responses to this problem, she and her colleagues have launched the National Science Foundation-funded Fast Fire Network this week.
This is an all-hands-on-deck moment when we need everybody across sectors to be thinking about how we solve the fast fire problem.
At the end of the five-year effort, they'll present the solutions they develop. I'm Murphy Woodhouse, Mountain West News Bureau reporter at Boise State Public Radio.
Laramie County's library is offering four new card designs for existing and new members. Wyoming News Now's Alex Searle reports.
Earlier this year, the Laramie County Library hosted a contest to design the next set of library cards available to the public. This contest featured four age ranges, including 6 and under, 7 to 9, 11 to 14, and 15 and up. With over 140 submissions, a winner was chosen from each age group, and Joelle Ashley says this contest was a great way to get in touch with the local community.
Our goal is really to have library cards that are made and represent the people who make up our community.
The release of these new library card designs is also paired with National Library Card Sign-Up Month, which takes place during the month of September. For both existing cardholders and people who may be new to the library, they can come in and get the new card design and check out everything the library has to offer.
I'm Alex Searle, Wyoming News Now.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming News.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Two Sweetwater County locations have new markers for the 250th anniversary of the United States. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports the High Desert chapter of the National Society Daughters of the American Revolution placed one at the Rock Springs Historical Museum and another in Green River. They honor those who fought in the Revolutionary War. An old marker got a rededication. A mass was held at the monument to Father Pierre-Jean Desmet at Lake Desmet, and two nearby Knights of Columbus groups refurbished and will maintain it. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, Father Desmet was a Jesuit priest in the 1800s who was respected by many Native American tribes and the U.S. government. He often helped with treaties. The Johnson County Junior Livestock Auction set a record this year. The Buffalo Bulletin reports 158 4-H and FFA-raised animals were sold. They brought in a record $664,560.06, not including add-on dollars received after the sale. The previous record was set in 2024. And according to workplace management software company Office R&D, Wyoming is the 11th best state for hybrid workers. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's Wyoming trivia question. What is the current value of Wyoming's Permanent Mineral Trust Fund? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll be sure to give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for last Friday's trivia question, when did Wyoming first recognize Labor Day as a holiday? Governor John Osborne proclaimed Monday, September 3, 1894, as a legal holiday for Labor Day following federal recognition of the day. Congratulations to Holly Green, the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great Tuesday as you drift back to work after the 3-day weekend, and join me again tomorrow.